To merge our atmosphere with the ionosphere so that it would be electrified, so that it would be ionized. And that's what they were able to do. If we are seen as serving a greater good of the future, this is where conscience sort of begins to play footsie with what is moral, what is good for the people, what is good for the life forms in the planet. And we are well into this now, when, you know, everything seems so wonderful in America and we have plenty of conveniences and money was flowing and blah, blah, blah. No, that's over. That is over. And I'm sorry to say that I think some other things are over as well, but it's because we didn't fight when we had the chance. Now we're up against the wall.
I have the perfect gift for you, the new snake oil from Gadget Man. It's not like it sounds. It's not really snake oil. It's a formula that you add to your engine oil, transmission, fuel systems, and more. This special formula reduces friction, enabling significant improvements in gas mileage and wear and tear on your vehicle. I personally have seen gas mileage improvements of over 10% in our first test vehicle. Now we are anxious to see how much it can also cut down on our maintenance costs. Starting at $29, it's a no-brainer gift that saves everyone money and adds life to your car. Learn more about this great unique gift idea at sarahwestall.com under shop.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have Alana Freeland coming back, and she's just amazing. She is a deep researcher. She's getting into all these subjects that you're hearing about, but you're not hearing about it like she talks about it. She's very smart. She's very particular about how she goes about doing her research. She's working on her third book, which is going to bring more of her information together. The first ones have been about geoengineering and underneath an ionized sky, and then also about the history of America after World War II. And she's just a very detailed researcher. And her third book, bringing all those things together and showing how transhumanism and the ionized foundation they're putting together and Tesla's research really is what it's all about, and how that all comes together and what they're trying to do now, and bringing it to something that's real instead of it seeming like it's just a fairy tale land or it's conspiracy theory. It's no, well, here are the details. If it's not that, then what is it? Because these details do exist. So what does that mean? And then she's going to stay after for my Patreons, and we talk about Marilyn Monroe and JFK and how all that kind of played out and who was involved behind that. This is just a fascinating discussion. She's on a roll. I really thoroughly enjoyed this because she just was just ready to go. She's been writing her book for the last, I don't know, months, and she's just was ready to kind of burst out all this information. And so it's a two-parter interview, and I hope you stick around for the whole part and join my Patreon and watch the exclusive part. You get free ebooks. You get, I have discounts for different products there. I have research, all sorts of things that I put up on my Patreon just for Patreons. And then I also want to tell you about the black seed oil and all the different things I have on my shop, on my website. I have three different options that are free. You can get a mace by mace sprayer for free by joining the Patriot website. You can also get a free blade that they have. It's a stiletto Italian blade, and you pay $5.95. But the blade is worth more than $5.95. You pay $5.95 for shipping, and the blade is worth more than that. Great stocking stuffers or gifts for people. I have other things that are on there right now that are great gifts for people as well. Unique, really unique gifts that you won't really find elsewhere. So I have the link for my shop below. Also, you can just go to Sarah Westall. It's under shop. And let's get into this amazing interview with Alana Freeland. Alana, thank you so much for rejoining the program.
Thanks for having me, Sarah. I always have a good time with you.
Well, I love having you come because you are an example of what a researcher should be. You're not afraid to get out of the box and stay within, you know, what everybody says to stay within, but yet you are so good at documenting where you came up with this information. You have a new book that you're writing and coming out soon. And first of all, what, I know you have a working title, so what is that and how does it tie into what you've done in the past?
Well, the working title at this point is Smart City Lockstep: How Geoengineering, Nanotechnology, and Synthetic Biology Serve a Transhumanist Future. Now, I know that's a mouthful, but the journey I've been on for 9 years since I first published the first book, Chemtrails, HARP, and the Full Spectrum Dominance of Planet Earth, in which all I tried to do was to consolidate what many activists and myself had come up with regarding certain classified programs that the American military was running. It was not an innovative book. It was a meat and potatoes book, somewhere to start. After a few other people's books, such as Nick Begich's Angels Don't Play This Harp, had come out in 95. So, you know, it was time to consolidate and move on. And it was through that book that I then was contacted after being on Coast to Coast by a guy named Billy Hayes. I always give him credit, the Harp Man. He had been a team leader on many antennas, mostly phased array antennas around the world, building this edifice of what he said would be the return of the Strategic Defense Initiative, the SDI program, the Star Wars program of the 80s. Now that the atmosphere was ionized through all the experiments with the HARP, which was an ionosphere heater up in Gakona, Alaska, after they were able to control the ionosphere, what they wanted was to merge our atmosphere with the ionosphere so that it would be electrified, so that it would be ionized. And that's what they were able to do. So now the space fence, which was part of the SDI program, now the space fence comes back in full glory under Lockheed Martin. The HARP had been run by Raytheon, the hugest military contractor corporations in the world. Now the space fence could set up, and that entailed an infrastructure on the ground and in near-Earth orbit, and it entailed lots and lots of chemicals and heavy metal nanoparticles, and that's what the jet thing is all about. That's what the rocket thing is all about. They're smearing the atmosphere from the stratosphere down with what they need to keep the atmosphere electrified. And it was Billy Hayes who guided me to really look at the infrastructure. And that's what the second book in 2018 is about. And that one's called Under an Ionized Sky: From Chemtrails to Space Fence Lockdown. And it was through that book, see, for me, you become a writer, you become a learner. I mean, this is not about Ilana trotting off to cool libraries loaded with books on these topics. This is about Ilana putting things together that there are no books for. Get that straight. This is adventuresome. It has taught me an amazing amount about physics and electromechanics. And Billy Hayes helped me in that first leg up. Now I'm on my own because I've turned to the last part of this delivery system. We're breathing in those nanoparticles, and they are still being dumped. There's no way they can stop dumping them if they're going to keep the atmosphere ionized at this point. Maybe they're searching for a way that would be less deleterious to the inhabitants of the earth. I don't know how much conscience these psychopaths have left, but I do know that they are dedicated to what Catherine Austin Fitz, the well-known investment analyst, calls the secret space fence, the secret space program. And that's important because if we are seen as serving a greater good of the future, this is where conscience sort of begins to play footsie with what is moral, what is good for the people, what is good for the life forms in the planet. And we are well into this now. So I'm trying in this third book to show how I actually believe there's another intention. Yes, the secret space program. But one of the big problems of the secret space program is they can't get a human being past the Van Allen belts. And you can point out all sorts of disinformation, and we went to the moon and all that stuff. And I won't even bat an eye. I don't even look at that anymore. What I look at is what they're doing now in order to get past the Van Allen belts for a normal, non-cyborg human being like we are. But I know that there are some at NASA who are pursuing a cyborg human being model that can be subject to artificial intelligence, and that the artificial intelligence will then, sort of like HAL in the 2001 film by Stanley Kubrick so long ago, to get past the Van Allen belts, and you've got a human being there. Imagine that. I don't know how they're going to do it, but they imagine that. And then you've got an AI system that will communicate with aliens, communicate with other intelligences, whatever. And all of this may sound like science fiction, but this is how they're thinking about it. And so they are pursuing a cyborg model of a human being. And it is coming through, in my opinion, and the opinion of several others in this movement I'm in, it is coming through the nanoparticles that we are breathing in. And it soon will be influenced very heavily by the 5G system and the Internet of Things. So that's how this all came about.
It seems so reckless, because it would be easier for them to do an avatar, because they can plug us in to an avatar. We can feel like we're anywhere else through, you know, touching, and they can connect it to our eyes and everything else. So the fact that they're going to this extreme when they could do an avatar, I'm not doubting that they're doing this. I'm saying there's other technology they can use that isn't so destructive to us. But that makes you wonder if they're doing it for other reasons, because they should know that they can do an avatar to get out there in deep space. So they need something that can communicate far. But so my question to you is, why, I know you've asked yourself this because it's so weird, why are all these scientists doing something that can hurt themselves and their own children? Why are they just so compartmentalized that they can't see the big picture? Or are they taught that it's not going to hurt them? Or, I mean, what is going on?
Okay, let's hold that question a moment. I want to respond to what you brought up before, because you're very perceptive. They are pursuing many ways to get beyond the Van Allen belts and get human presence up there. What you're describing in the virtual is the sentient world simulation, the SWS. It's very well known. It was a military white paper years ago, but it has become a reality. And we're probably not going to go into it in this show, but I want to say that the SWS, the sentient world simulation, is literally a virtual world identical to this one that is being constructed. And how they're doing that is through the millions, not thousands, millions of targeted individuals that they're drawing data from by torturing and targeting them from a distance, the no-touch torture, so that they can see how the brain works, what behaviors do, and they can funnel all of that big data into this SWS program to build a virtual world, and they may simply have that avatar on the, and I would assume it will be an exotic propulsion craft that we certainly have since we brought them Nazis in at the end of World War II.
But with the avatar, they don't need a virtual world. They just need to be able to have an avatar that can handle, you know, radiation and everything the Van Allen belt might give you. And you're just an avatar. I mean, you're distant from a different body, so they don't need a whole virtual reality to do that. So they're working on they're working on downloading a mind to a virtual reality,
yes,
so that we can live forever. But then there's the build an avatar instead of if you want to go into deep space. That's a different situation or solution. But I would bet they're doing everything. Everything they could be doing, they're doing.
Yes.
But, you know, it gets back to that same question. Why? How do you get run-of-the-mill scientists to hurt themselves other than keeping them clueless? But at some point, if they're the ones doing some big picture stuff, they have to know it. So they have to be okay with destroying themselves and their family. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. And I definitely have ideas on that. I know one way they do it for some of these scientists, technicians, etc., and that is through blackmail. The pedophilia thing is off the charts now. So all they need is get a CIA guy in there with a good camera. Film this guy, if he is a pedophile. If he's not a pedophile, you can use a drug to get him to do whatever you tell him to do, and then you film him. And then you own him for the rest of his life, unless he can go through the brutality of, you know, I mean, at least pedophilia at this point is still forbidden. And we have some sort of litmus for the most evil that society will stand in the powerful, as the Jeffrey Epstein thing is showing. I mean, people come unglued over this, but of course they are working on that as well to lower the age of consent. There's another way though, and this would be the way I would assume they would be using for the very high up, I hesitate to use the term, consciously evolved kinds of people with power, with money, with influence, and that would include scientists. So especially what are called the Jasons. The Jasons are the elite crème de la crème of the scientific world. So invitation only. And that's brotherhoods. And it fascinates me that Americans have forgotten so well that these brotherhoods are extremely powerful in every nation of the West. I can't speak for the East, but for the West, yes, very powerful. Yes, that's the Freemasons, the Knights of Malta, all those brotherhoods, and there are very few that the public knows about when really there are hundreds of these brotherhoods, and they're all sort of interlinked and have common cosmologies, epistemologies, etc. They're also very hierarchical. And so it's a wonderful way to control not just information, but people, especially men. But there are now, of course, the female counterparts to take, for example, the Freemasons. They have the Eastern Stars, and the Eastern Star women are considered, they go through initiation, they have their own rituals and rites. And it's very active. It's very, I mean, people think this is, oh, this is silly. You know, it's kind of like the Shriners in the annual parade in a small town. No, it is not like that. We have been fed a bill of goods now for about 3 or 4 decades. I don't know if you remember, Sarah, but the last, I think it was the last speech that Kennedy gave was the one on secret societies before his assassination. And he and Robert were planning to really go after this, especially in government, because in government, if you have brotherhoods, these hierarchic brotherhoods, they will obey a brother before they'll obey whatever position they're in and their higher up authority over them. So it's a real problem. It's been a problem in America for many, since the beginning. And back in the 1800s, Freemasons were banned for about 30 years. And there were thousands who resigned from it because of a murder of a man up in Niagara Falls who was a Freemason. So, if we think of it that way, now we're looking at obedience to hierarchic degree. And that's a terrific way to control, especially if you have brotherhoods that are a more scientific phalanx. You know, these are all different lodges, and they all pursue different things. They're not all just cookie cuts. They also cut across the board. People think that they're white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. Not so. There are Native American brotherhoods. There are Black brotherhoods. There are Jewish brotherhoods. You name it, there are brotherhoods. There is something in the Western human being that loves to be part of, I guess, an organization, an institution, and then is needs meaning in their life. So the rituals and all of the lore that the brotherhoods pass on from one generation to the next is very appealing to many men who want to get a leg up in society. And then once they're in, once they pass a certain degree, suddenly they see what they're in, but there ain't no way out. And so this is something we need to become more and more aware of. And that's why I wrote that series, Sub Rosa America, which is a fictional history series, more history than fiction, about America since John F. Kennedy's assassination. I go deep into that occult underbelly that really governs America. And I will not be quiet about that. And people can laugh at me and say, but Ilana, I like it when you talk about facts. Well, life is about a lot more than facts. In fact, we need the consciousness of what is going on and not to just buy the farm on how we've been conditioned to think of our nation, of our people, of everything. And that's of course what I'm good at. I always call myself the 13th fairy. Do you know the story in which the 12 fairies meet and they have a lovely party for a little girl who's just been born, Sleeping Beauty? I think it's all called, the original name was Briar Rose. When I was a Waldorf teacher, I loved that story because I am the 13th fairy who comes in and sort of creates a dust storm that everyone has to solve before little Briar Rose can be happy. And I want that happiness for people. I don't want to be Miss Bad News all the time. I want people to see that their life is meaningful, that this is no mistake that they're here now, that it's all hands on deck now for the future of humanity, as far as I'm concerned, given what I know. And there are ways to ready oneself. I don't think I'm saying that you should have the lifestyle you had before during the Cold War and after the Cold War, when, you know, everything seemed so wonderful in America and we had plenty of conveniences and money was flowing and blah, blah, blah. No, that's over. That is over. And I'm sorry to say that I think some other things are over as well, but it's because we didn't fight when we had the chance. Now we're up against the wall. So now it's time to, like me, I don't want you to be like me, but this is how I think. I'm a warrior. I'm on the front lines. I need to take care of my health. I need to take care of my brain. I need to stay alive if I can while I do this outpouring to the public education. And I need to make sure that people understand how this tech works so they can confront it and combat it. That's why I miss detail on this stuff and have hundreds of footnotes and all that stuff, is I want you to know this is real, because a lot of what we're facing today is it's just invisible unless you have a really powerful microscope. You're not going to see it. You're not going to see the forces, the physics forces that are now being brought against us and our future as human beings. This is a transhumanist speedway that we're on, and it is happening so fast. I totally agree. It's hard to believe. I mean, I can hardly keep up. In fact, once this book comes out, I'm concerned about when it comes out, because by the time it comes out in a publisher's schedule, there's going to be all sorts of other things that should be in that book. I mean, it's an amazing time to be alive. I'm thrilled to be here to fight this battle for humanity. And I want to share with people just ways they can cognize this huge change that's going on and not be afraid, because they are feeding us fear through the mainstream media that has been controlled since the 70s. So you know, let's gird up our loins and clear our heads to the degree we can in order to prepare ourselves for our children, our grandchildren, for the future of humanity, to stand in opposition to this secret space program that is asking far too much of the people who support it with their tax dollars. And, you know, and Catherine Austin Fitz, as she has said, bless her, over and over, not just $21 trillion is missing from the American budget of 1990 or sometime. No, $66 trillion
it's a lot
is
more.
Missing. Where
yeah.
did it go?
It's a lot
where
more.
Where did it go? I think it went into the secret space program.
Well, it makes sense. It has to be something huge. But let's talk about, I mean, I love your body of work, because you bring up Rudolf Steiner and you bring it into the whole consciousness field. But you also talk about them creating the infrastructure needed to do this. And that's the ionosphere, correct? I mean, that was the infrastructure they needed, and it brought in the geoengineering. It brought in all this stuff. Can you talk about what this ionosphere does?
Yes, it is the protection from the solar energy that is deleterious to our lives. I mean, it's as though, and Steiner actually says this, it's as though the human being and the earth were made for each other. We are in service to each other. And a lot of people badmouth human beings that were destroying the planet. Yes, we're like little teeny kindergartners with some very out of control bad boys that are constantly pushing the envelope and pushing the envelope. I mean, all you have to look at now is genetics. It's insane what's going on with genetics. And this is way ahead of the timetable that we should have had. Steiner perceives that the future, we would have to face our relationship with machines. But unless we have the moral development to do that, this is what's going to happen. You're going to have guys who are simply taking over the machines so that they take over us. And so everything's coming too fast. The ionosphere was, of course, Tesla stuff, right? I mean, Tesla knew a lot about the ionosphere, and he didn't need millions of dollars from J.P. Morgan in order to know those things. He did it through thinking. He had a really good mind, and he disciplined himself to use that mind. So he knew things about the ionosphere. He even said that someday we would be taking our energy from the sun, and he didn't mean solar panels, he meant a direct infusion. And he was eliminated in 43 and his research stolen. Only a few papers ever made it back to his homeland in Eastern Europe. So now what they needed was the SDI program came up. They were trying to develop a successor to the missile program. and they were working on directed energy weapons, but they didn't want anyone to know. And that continued until they saw that they had a big problem. The ionosphere was not in their charge. They needed it. They needed to control it in order to make the atmosphere ionized so that they could run all these wireless operations. And it wasn't just our cell phones they were thinking of, because we didn't have cell phones then. They were thinking of military industrial intelligence operations in preparation for the secret space program, in preparation for figuring out how to leave the planet, all sorts of things, plasma. They wanted to understand the fourth state of matter better, but they couldn't do it unless the atmosphere was ionized. So then along comes Bernard Eastland with his 1987 patent, which is tremendous. And I spend chapter two of the first book deconstructing it so you can understand it. But he figured out how we could use phased array antennas, a big bunch of them, steer them, and zap the ionosphere, several hundred kilometers of it, and stimulate more electrons, more ionizing of the electrons, and then set up a way for it to, over the horizon, come back to the Earth and fill our atmosphere. They figured it out. It took from the late 90s, the mid 90s, 1995. They always say that HARP didn't get going till 2005 or something. That's nonsense. They got it going. They did 10 years of, 20 years of experimentation. Meanwhile, from the mid 90s, they're flying the jets because they've changed the fuel. They've classified the fuel. They have alternate systems on board, which we activists argued about for years, as I recall. And they needed those chemicals and those nanoparticles to suffuse the atmosphere, because you really can't move radio waves or microwaves in a vacuum. You've got to have particulate matter. You've got to have things charged a bit. So all of that was going on while we were involved in our politics and our debt and, you know, all the drama of human life. But that was, at that point, the secret space program, because without understanding all sorts of things that had to be done wirelessly in our own atmosphere, and you see, Sarah, they had to move it into the environment. They couldn't do it in a lab anymore. I mean, you can run plasma experiments in a lab, but you can't really develop Alvin waves, for example, unless you have it in open field experiments. So they had to weaponize the environment to a degree, but they've gone way beyond that, because they've also seen that, hey, we not only have to weaponize the environment to meet our needs for the space program, but we need to actually control this planet, absolutely. And they called it the doctrine of full spectrum dominance. And that's the key. The revolution in military affairs that took place in the 90s was so extreme. I hesitate to even broach the subject. It has to do with the Satanist Lieutenant Colonel Michael Aquino. It has to do with his paper, Mind Wars, and where the military went after that paper came out in the 80s. It has to do with all sorts of lies and deception being introduced beyond the cover stories of the old UFO stories and all those things that we used to see on the internet, to realize that they were true, but they were spun so that they sounded ridiculous and funny and silly. And of course, the conspiracy theorist thing, the CIA came up with that wonderful term. And then the chemtrails term came from the U.S. Air Force Academy, and that was turned on its head to make fun of tinfoil hat people. blah, blah, blah. And on it went. Does that more than answer your question about HAARP?
Well, yeah. Well, I was, yeah. I mean, I just didn't even interrupt because it was so interesting what you were saying. The ionosphere, you know, they basically need it to power everything that they're doing. They need that infrastructure to power what they're doing. Now, how do they use that, and why do we need to turn humans into transhumanist cyborg type things? I mean, I know that some people are very interested in being connected to the computer and things so they can become hyper intelligent and superhuman type thing. But that's not what this is about. It's different than that. And can you explain, you know, because that's what people think of. They think of, oh, we'll be connected to Google. We'll be connected to all these things. We can read, you know, the screen can read our eyes. I mean, there's all these different examples of it. But it's that's just the foundation to be able to do what they want. So can you explain what it is that you're seeing that they want?
Well, now I'm going to leave the track that all of us have gone down and go to the track that few people go down.